Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Holmgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And while we knew that this week was going to be crazy because there's two big events, I don't think we anticipated all the other levels of crazy of things that were going to happen this week because it's been crazy.
Yeah, it's been a little nuts. What are you doing with your microphone there? A little Tim Ferriss action going?
Just holding it, yeah.
That's what Eric's got his microphone. Like, I'm in here with Freddie Mercury today. Just want to know.
Going straight rock star.
What are we doing? I just want to check before we got going here.
I'm just
going
to start singing in the middle of these things. So we obviously have UFC 220 to talk about. We obviously want to talk about the Bellator Heavyweight Grand Prix that also starts this weekend. We will hit very briefly on UFC 223 and the effects that it has on Conor McGregor. We'll talk a little bit about this insane WWE news that Ken found this week. But I wanted to start briefly because our Facebook page sort of blew up over the weekend when Uriah Hall failed to make weight. And what's interesting is the twists and turns that this story has taken, right? When it happened, I think the immediate thing for a lot of people, because he's not necessarily the world's most liked and beloved fighter, was like, here we go again, another guy who didn't do his work, blah, 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 blah. Then Paige VanZant comes out and says it was the scariest thing that she's ever seen. Luke Thomas comes out and says that he apparently had a seizure when he failed to make weight. He got within 1 pound, and then his body just shut down. And I was telling Ken before we started the podcast, Damon Martin and I were going back and forth on Twitter because I wanted to know what happens when that like you have a seizure at an event and can't make weight. Do you get a medical suspension? Do you get extra scrutiny when they license you the next time? Do they even license you the next time? Do they make you go up to 205? And as much as he and I could find, there is no precedent for this. Like they
don't have to do anything, is what you're saying.
Well, he will get scrutinized when he gets his license again, for sure. But he doesn't have to. He's not on a medical suspension. He could fight again next week, seemingly, if he wanted to.
It's probably not a good idea.
It is a terrible idea. But what was interesting is
if your brain is thirsty to the point where it needs to shut your body down, that's probably not a good idea to fight it again the next week.
And
which is essentially what this is.
And Ken Explained Science is brought to you by...
Right, I'm telling you. You get so dehydrated, if you have a seizure, that's your brain telling you, hey, you gotta get some Gatorade or something. Electrolytes, it's what's good for you. I don't know.
And that was the interesting end to this before we get into all the other exciting stuff happening this week. The interesting end to that is that Dana White does an interview on Monday where he essentially is like, this idiot doesn't do what he's at the UFC Performance Institute. He does nothing that the trainers tell him. He doesn't take anything seriously. Like, I like him as a person, but this doesn't surprise me he uses way more expletives than we do on the show. When you mess around with this sort of stuff, this is what happens. Now, sort of dismissive on Dana White's part, but circles back to the fact that this is clearly one of those guys and likely go down in history as one of those guys that had a tremendous amount of potential that just hasn't manifested itself.
Well, it's one of those situations, too, where I know Dana White probably took some heat. They're like, oh, geez, the guy had a seizure. The guy didn't make weight. He had these medical problems. I do give Dana White credit in these instances where he's close to the situation, and maybe the guy screwed up and put himself in that situation. I don't know. Is it 100% right the way Dana White approached it? Probably not. But, I mean, that's Dana White. That's what we're dealing with at this point in our lives. So, again, was it the best way to do it? No, I don't think Dana deserved as much hate as he got because, you know, sometimes he is closer to the situation. Sometimes he talks to other guys and they go, yeah, you know, Uriah would have been fine, but he was trying to drop 20 pounds of water weight the final week instead of getting where he needed to be when we were getting into the week of. And again, this is just supposition, but I did see a lot of that.
It's closer
on
supposition, right, than what we were doing Saturday, right? If Dana's mm-hmm. giving you information, he's clearly a couple steps closer to this process than we are. But it will be interesting to watch this. And one of the things that we put out on Facebook and Twitter on Saturday that I just want to reiterate, and then we'll get into UFC 220, is prior to the early morning weigh-ins, and Daniel Cormier has spoken out against them this week again, but prior to that, the 18 months prior to the we're going to do early morning weigh-ins, 17 fighters failed to make weight. Mm-hmm. The 18 months prior, or 18 months since they have instigated the morning weigh-ins, 51 fighters have failed to make weight.
Well, this is interesting, and I get that fighters are creatures of routine, and everybody's put themselves in a certain position to be in a certain spot. I think that shows that what they're doing now is exactly what they should have been doing a long time ago. These guys were way too freaking close to the edge at the weigh-ins. They were way too close to the edge. If you couldn't, if you can't weigh in at 10 a.m., but you can weigh in at 6 p.m., there's a problem there in that 8 hours.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. There's a problem there, guys. That's not good. And I get it that these fighters were able to make weight later in the day because they had another day to cut, quote unquote. You're going to have to cut sooner. You're going to have to be closer to your weight, and you're going to be, you're going to have more energy when you actually fight at this point. That's why these things were implemented.
And that was the question I was asking both on Facebook and Twitter. Is it seems to me in my neophyte understanding of weight cutting, because I've never been a professional athlete who has cut weight in order to like cut weight like that. When I was in jiu-jitsu tournaments, I did it, but nowhere near that, right? I was trying to understand, you know, what's the difference? Because it seems to me in my neophyte understanding that having that extra time to rehydrate would be a huge bonus that you would retroactively figure out what you needed to do on the other end in order to hit 8 hours earlier.
The difference is, I can tell you with my understanding of MMA and just looking at the situation, the difference is they were using every single day to cut, and these guys were cutting too close to what their weight is. Some of these guys are out of weight classes that they really probably shouldn't have been in. That's the point of this. We knew this was going to happen. That seems more drastic than I would have even expected, but that's good in these situations. Of course, I don't want to see things like that happen to Uriah Hall, but these guys have to stop going into cuts so damn close that it's causing these issues. And again, I don't want to be that guy that's advocating for 10 more weight classes, but I do think at a certain point, I think we can look at a couple more. I think we still got the, remember, 205 isn't a real thing, except the UFC made it a real thing because they wanted Tito Ortiz to be a superstar in the organization back in 2000.
And this week will reflect the fact that, I mean, for all intents and purposes, we could shut that division down and start a different one if we wanted to, because there's really nothing going on there.
Well, and considering the guy who's the champion in the division who's competing this weekend could probably be in your heavyweight division and beat almost any guy in the top 10 there at this point, I think, you know, you could keep 205. We've got 10 pounds essentially across the board, and I get it. You don't have enough fighters, but this could be a situation where the UFC wants to look back at 195 and figure that out again and see if that's going to be a thing. Do we want it to be 195 and then maybe we go up to 215 and make that a little bigger? Because sure, when you get the weights higher, the percentage of weight in a 20-pound difference is much different than when you're going from 170 to 185, which is only 15 pounds difference. But with those guys, it's a bigger percentage of their body composition. So I don't know what this means as far as the fighters are concerned. I know people are complaining about it. We're not going back. I really don't think we're going back at this point. So these guys are going to have to get used to it. You know, start a day earlier. If you really needed that extra day, if you needed those 8 hours, you got to do it a day earlier. And I get it. These guys don't want to give up anything. This becomes a game of inches, but this is part of the game at this point.
Well, and I would just say, if this is the realization, it's like any change at a workplace. Like, you either adapt or go do something else, right? Mm-hmm. You go work at Bellator or 1FC or whatever. But the thing is, all of these guys, Uriah Hall included, to your point, are walking around too heavy to begin with, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you just stay, like, and you've seen this throughout the last 3 or 4 years, and even going all the way back to when Frankie Edgar started, right? Like, part of his success, guys, was the fact that he was 2 pounds heavier than where he was going to fight. He could fight every day, any day, in 15 minutes.
Yeah,
right?
But what happens to MMA fighters? And again, this is a lot of outside looking in, but hell, that's what I'm not paid to do.
Yes.
When you get to this certain level, these guys want every advantage they can have. And almost everybody in the UFC, you have to remember, guys, has been the strongest, baddest motherfucker that has ever lived throughout their lives. Every guy in the UFC has been that dude. So when they get up to a certain point, oh my God, there's a stronger, badder dude than me.
Sure.
Oh, well, this must be my weight. I must be in the wrong weight class. Couldn't conceivably, because there's other stronger, badder people on the planet, because I've been the baddest dude my whole life. Yeah, there are bigger, stronger, badder people. And I think for a lot of these guys, go, man, I just must be in the wrong. I got to be in a different weight class. I just need to cut more and then I'll be stronger. I think that happens with some of these guys. And that's why they don't want to leave these weight classes. How many times have we seen dudes miss weight 2-3 times before they finally give up the goat and go up a weight class. It seems like we've seen more of that lately, where they've literally got to miss weight a couple of times before somebody, either in their camp or they get it in their head, like, I just can't do it. But they want to be bigger. They want to be stronger than the guys in their division. So a lot of guys are cutting down to do that.
It's just crazy. And we'll keep you posted on anything that happens with Uriah Hall. I mean, Dana did talk this week, like, quote unquote, making him go up to 205, but we'll see if that actually happens.
And see, for a guy like Uriah Hall, and that's where I really think 195 comes into play. And that's why I mentioned it earlier. 20 pounds is a big deal if you're going from 185 to 205. It's a big deal, too, because you've got guys like Daniel Cormier who probably walk around at 230, 235 that are cutting down in that division. And of course, light heavyweight, there's not a lot of names up there, but the guy who's champ, he's pretty damn good. And other than the guy who got roided up and cheated, nobody's been able to beat him. And that includes Fedor. That includes dudes in Strikeforce. That includes, I mean, the dude manhandled Josh freaking Barnett, for Christ's sake, in Strikeforce.
To be fair, John Jones passed a polygraph, so I don't know.
Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
Are you serious? Is that a real thing?
Oh, yeah. He took a polygraph to say that he didn't
That doesn't matter.
No one asked him to do that.
Where did he find a guy to do a polygraph?
It wasn't like a carnival barker. He went to a place.
I get it, but where do you even have?
I don't know. I've never had the need for a polygraph. I don't know. I mean, we could Google it if you want to.
No.
Okay.
Is he going to take that into the NSAC?
Apparently. Which is finally set for later this month. So
maybe he is. Oh, he would just be crazy enough to try to walk in with I'd love if he just walks in with that long ass sheet of paper with the squiggles
on
it.
Squiggle on it, yeah.
Like, as you can see with this squiggle, I'm totally clean, guys.
So that's a thing, and an excellent segue into UFC 220 as Daniel Cormier defends his light heavyweight belt that was taken from him from the truth-telling John Jones, then given back to him when John Jones turned out to not be telling the truth.
John the Truth Jones.
So he will be fighting Volkan Oezdemir, who is – this is the most interesting fight in the UFC right now because while skill-wise, I don't think that Volkan brings anything to the table that's going to surprise Daniel Cormier. There is no worse scenario than Volkan Oezdemir winning this and then going to prison for assault.
Ooh. Yeah, this is going to be a tough one. You don't want to count anybody out of a fight, but it's interesting. And by the way, I want to correct myself. He obviously didn't fight Fedor. He was in the same tournament. I mentioned that earlier.
Might as well have fought Fedor. It's the same thing.
I think he beat him. I'd take him over Fedor right now. But I mean, it's interesting because I was kind of looking at, you know, Daniel Cormier, and it's hard because the only thing you think of right now with Daniel Cormier is one man's name. That's John Jones.
Yep.
Which isn't fair to him at all. So I was kind of looking at this fight and going through and seeing what was going on here. And, you know, I remembered that fight where he freaking manhandled Josh Barnett. That was insane, that fight. I watched that fight again. Obviously, he beat a legend in Dan Henderson. And, you know, that fight wasn't even close. It really wasn't. He choked Dan out, and that was it. Anthony Johnson, who at that point had been, what, on a 9-fight win streak?
Yes.
He beat him. And that was a submission, too, I believe, the rear naked choke. This Gustafson fight, that was a split decision, but, I mean, that really shows his toughness, what was in there. Anderson Silva was what it was because John peed hot. He got in there with the win. Again, beat the brakes off of Rumble, sent Rumble into weed land. Like, that's Rumble's off with medicinal marijuana companies. Like, I've had enough of this. But you're still a great fighter, top of your game. Yeah, but this guy beat the brakes off me twice.
Yep.
I don't know what else I can do in this division, so cool. So this guy's one of the best fighters in history, and I think if, you know, we would have seen something against John Jones, I think you could have had an argument for one of the greatest of all time. This is a guy, like I said earlier, who probably, if he jumped right into the heavyweight division, would be a top 3 or 4 contender. You know, I think his only issue would be his age at this point and how young that division's starting to get, and we'll talk about that, obviously, a little bit with Stipe's match in just a couple minutes. You know, he made a great point on UFC on Fox, and that's that Oezdemir, great fighter, looked good. He was the B guy in Rumble's camp. He was the guy that sparred with Rumble, and he beat the brakes off Rumble. What is Oezdemir going to bring if he wasn't the A guy when Rumble was in camp?
Sure. And you know, while you've got guys like Jimmy Manoa who are saying that Volkan can shock the world, and we don't ever underestimate anyone at 205, especially as thin as it is, guys like Alexander Gustafsson can show up out of nowhere and be like, who is this giant Swedish dude that's now a contender? So things can happen. However, I don't think this... I think DC has this all day. all day.
I think there's a reason too. This is underneath the main event. I know it's technically the co-main event, but I think the UFC doesn't set up fights. I'm not one of those dudes, but I think the UFC has basically said, okay, let's take a contender, let's take a guy who's got some wins, and let's get DC essentially reset as champion. Let's not forget, we haven't done that yet. We've got to reset our light heavyweight division here because of the idiocy of John Jones and whatever the hell happened back in, I forget when.
July.
July of last year. It's been a while now. So they've got to reset this division, which, again, back in the day was one of their most popular divisions. That was always that money division. Chuck Liddell was in there. Randy Couture was in there. You know, we talked about Tito going back that far. So this was a money division. This is a division that built the UFC, going to Forrest Griffin being the Ultimate Fighter star, and those fights against Quentin Rampage Jackson, and who's fighting this weekend as well. So it's going to be a bit of a reset, I think, for the division, unless God knows what's going to happen if Ozdemir wins and ends up in prison in another month.
And just to reset that, he's accused of assault and has to go through the whole court process. So very, and it doesn't look great. Even
and
though
usually this shows you how the division's kind of messed up. Usually those guys would be nowhere near a title shot because you just don't want to take that risk.
No, but this is what you have. And when we go through light heavyweight in the top seven human beings, number one is Gus and he's injured. Number two is Volkan. Number three is Glover, Jimmy Manoa, OSP, Shogun, and Krukhnov is at seven. Corey Anderson under that, and Iri Latifi under that, and then Patrick Cummins under that. That's your top 10 at light heavyweight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's an unremarkable top 10.
Yeah, it's certainly not a money-making top 10. Well, maybe some of the best in the world.
Let's go one down to middleweight. You've got Robert Whittaker, Romero, Rockhold, Souza, GSP, Weidman, Gastelum, Bisping, Brunson,
Silva.
Did you
really say GSP?
He's in there. He's ranked.
Okay. All right.
He's cool. Currently your champion.
No, he's not. They stripped him. They straight up stripped him.
Whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, that's a much more interesting list of humans than the ones I just read at light heavyweight.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay, so the other fight at the top of this card is Francis Ngannou and Stipe Miocic. And this one I have a much different perspective on. And that perspective is I think Ngannou's like the scariest dude in the world right now, mm-hmm. and I don't like Stipe's chances against him.
So here's the thing. I mean, this is tough because I've really only seen Ngannou in the last fight where he launched Alistair Overeem in the middle of the cage.
Video game punch.
So, you know, what do you think would work for Miocic in this scenario? Because what I'm thinking is a little bit of that phone booth fighting. You don't let a guy cock back and wind up with an uppercut. That's the last thing in the world you want to do, clearly, with this guy. You don't want to let him throw a ton of kicks because I don't think that's going to be a spot where Stipe wins. I think this is like up close, nasty phone booth fighting, you know, some dragging takedowns, take a couple of pages out of Nurmagomedov's book with the trips and the takedowns and things like that. And that's how Miocic can dominate and really use his experience in this fight.
And that will be the tools that he can lean into. And to your point, he needs to keep it close and he needs to keep it dirty. And I don't mean cheating. I just mean like it needs to be a nasty.
Smack him in the balls. Go ahead.
A nasty, ugly fight because if you give him any space, it's going to be problematic. If you go back to the JDS fight, he cannot be in a situation where he's backpedaling off of his foot trying to get away from Ngannou and Ngannou is throwing bombs at his head. That's a bad space to be in. So he's got to be in control of the octagon. It's got to be up against the fence and it's got to be tight. And the thing that will be interesting is Ngannou hasn't gone very deep into the waters. And so when we get to round 3, 4, and 5, if we get that far, that will be where we'll find out if carrying that weight and throwing that much energy can keep you in the fight in those last three rounds as much as it did in the first two.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's always the thing with these guys, too, in the championship fights. We know that probably the experience in the gas tank is probably with Stipe. But again, like you said, one of the scariest dudes to kind of watch fight right now is Francis Ngannou. So it'll be interesting to see where this fight is. And, you know, I'm kind of going back through some of his record here. There's nothing overly impressive. I mean, the UFC is going to be legit no matter what.
Sure.
But there's nothing overly impressive until we get to his last fight. I mean, I was bummed out about the Andrei Arlovsky fight, but I think a lot of us saw that coming. Obviously, the Alistair fight, that was a big, big win for him at this point in his career. And the UFC is a place right now. If you can make it a big win on a pay-per-view and your challenger's ready to fight, you can get yourself into that slot. Because, again, we're looking at a lot of fights this year that have to be championships as far as co-main events go. Like, we're going to see a lot of fights, I believe, where you're going to see two championship fights on a card because the UFC needs to build these guys and build these divisions and let you know who everybody is. Because I know we'll get into this a little bit later. Doesn't look like Conor McGregor's coming through that door anytime soon.
No, it does not. We'll talk about that in a second. But the other fight that I wanted to talk about is that we have in Bellator this weekend. We have the kickoff to the light heavyweight championship tournament.
That's heavyweight, I believe.
The heavyweight tournament. Sorry, and that is going to be Chael Sonnen and Rampage Jackson, who is now headlining the card, as Ken so astutely prognosticated last week, saying that they should swap it. So they did swap it because they listened to this podcast and thought that that was a good idea.
Thanks, Scott.
So we've got that, and I'm interested, Ken. What do you think will happen in this one? I mean.
I hope you mean just this fight, because I'm not breaking down the tournament that's going to take five months to finish.
We're not going to do that. I mean, between Rampage and Sonnen, how do you think this fight shakes out?
I feel like this is an opportunity for Chael Sonnen, because I know a lot of guys, you want to lean towards Quentin. I mean, he's always obviously been the big time fighter. He's been in Pride. He's been in UFC. He's got the heavy hands, but I think this is a situation, interestingly enough, I don't know that there's many guys you could have given Chael the advantage here, but over the past couple of years, Chael's been more active. I know he's had a suspension to deal with in there, but Chael's been the guy that's really fought more in modern MMA than a guy like Quentin Rampage Jackson. So I think this could be an interesting fight in the way that it plays out. I mean, I may be crazy. I feel like this is going to be a pretty dominant win for a guy like Chael. I really do.
Really?
I think Quentin's getting older. I don't think Quentin's quite stayed up to date on the game the same way a guy like Chael has. Let's remember, Chael's done a lot of those grappling tournaments, too. You know, he's done a lot of high-level grappling stuff, too, even when he was suspended. And I get it. He's taken some bad losses. But again, the guys...
A lot of bad losses.
Yeah, but the guys he's lost to, look at them. Start reading those names on and tell me that they're not in the UFC Hall of Fame.
No, I'm with you. It's John Jones, Anderson Silva, Rashad Evans, and Tito Ortiz.
So, I mean, yeah. I mean, the Tito Ortiz is the one that makes me a little bit iffy on this, simply because I thought Chael was going to win that fight. And I thought for the same reasons. Like, Tito was a little more old school, didn't quite have the activity he needed to have in the modern MMA game. So, I just think the Tito fight was an anomaly. I know that was his fight back, I believe, after the suspension, right? So yes. Chael probably had the ring rust there. I just feel like Chael's got the experience in modern MMA in a way that Rampage just doesn't anymore. And Rampage, for a long time, has clearly been all about the paycheck. Not that Chael doesn't want to get paid. He'll make that clear as day to you. But, I mean, I feel like Chael really enjoys the fight game as well. He enjoys the back and forth, the media. He enjoys, you know, trying to get into another fighter's head. And he enjoys all the aspects of it. And he also enjoys the hell out of getting paid for it. I think the one thing Quentin really enjoys about this is getting paid.
Sure.
So I think that's going to factor in somewhat here as we kind of see this fight happen this weekend.
And then you also on the co-main event that was the main event the last time we spoke to you guys, is the welterweight world title between Rory McDonald and Douglas Lima. And that will be a very interesting fight, a very odd lead up to this fight, but an interesting fight as Lima is the current champion. And I think there are a lot of questions as there have been a lot of guys who have come over to the UFC who haven't really shown in the way that we thought they would. I think there was some, call it 2 years ago, the common man's perception was that the UFC was the quote unquote better organization, and that if you just wandered over, you would be a champion, you know, and you have not necessarily seen that with guys like Lorenz Larkin and guys like slipping through my head, but like
Rory McDonald didn't walk right in and take a championship, which everybody thought he would do.
Yes. So there's a lot of questions, I think, which is another good reason why they swapped these two things. But that will be a fun fight to see at 170 to see what Rory McDonald has when he goes against Douglas Lima.
And not to harp on this too long, but I do want to kind of, I'm not going to break down what's going to happen because we don't know what the fights are going to happen. But, I mean, how cool would this card be if we had that Frank Mir Fedor fight on it, too? I don't understand what their reasoning is. And I get they've got to get more events out of these guys. But, I mean, we're literally going to have – I mean, here's a question I have for you. Regardless of the winner tomorrow night – Saturday night, excuse me.
Sure.
Regardless of the winner, how likely are they to make it to the next round that they have to wait until at least May for?
And I mean, given what has happened in the UFC this year, that I mean, last year into this year, like that's a legit question, mm-hmm. right? And it's a legit question because half of the people in this are around 40 or over.
Oh, yeah. Let's go through real quick. Frank Mir Fedor is the other half of this bracket,
and
which doesn't happen.
Frank Mir. Frank Mir's got to be up there, right?
Frank Mir's got to be in his 40s by now, right?
I'll check while
He's
you keep
still
talking.
One of those old school guys. Big Mo is in there. Muhammad Lawal.
38.
Ryan Bader is in there. He's probably one of the younger dudes, actually. He, Roy Nelson, and Matt Mitrione, I think, are bringing the age down some, which
yes,
isn't a lot.
Right.
Because those are all older dudes. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what's happening here. I'm looking at the official event list on this Grand Prix as well. Oh, they don't actually have anybody assigned. Let's see. We're going to see Bellator 193 is going to have... No, that's just an event list for Bellator. This isn't even right. They don't even have the links right on their site. Okay, well, I tried. Yeah, so we'll see the Matt Mitrione and Roy Nelson fight. Looks like we're going to see that one in February on the 16th. And then we will see... we don't have the other ones laid out for sure. So that's where we are in this tournament.
So there we are.
There we are, Bellator, on the Paramount Network. Which, by the way, I commend their advertising because I've been hit with their sponsored post. But I can't see it live and free because you are not on a free network. Live and free would be Fox, would be ABC, would be CBS, and I'm forgetting somebody, NBC?
There you go.
Or PBS, if you want to go that route. But you are not live and free. You are not on my cable package. So don't assume the Paramount Network's going to be easy to find for you.
So I did some searching. I actually found this so I can break it down for you. January is Quinton and Chael. Mm-hmm. As you said earlier, Mitrione and Roy Nelson is February. April is Fedor and Frank Mir. And May is Bader and Big Mo.
Oh, okay.
Or King Mo, sorry.
So I guess we can't even really get to the next round until June.
We're not done till July at this point, which is, I think...
That's the next round, Eric. That doesn't get to the final two fighters.
Right. It'll be July or August, right?
Next round can be June if the last one's in May.
I know that. I'm asking how it ends.
I think you're skipping around, bro.
Does it end in
September? Wait, do you think any of these dudes are going to fight a month after the next round? Are you insane?
I don't know. But like, how do you expect, like, for all the things that Bellator is doing right, how do you expect a person to keep track of this for 7 months?
We don't really need to because we're going to have three... how many fighters are in the field? Eight?
Eight. Well, eight, and they haven't announced, you'll love this because I was waiting for the show for this, they haven't announced all of the alternates, but one of the rumors out there is that Karatanov's coming back, which I'm super excited about.
He's got to be 80, right?
Who cares? Super excited.
Okay, so eight fighters. I'm going to say three don't continue even after they win. That will be 75% of the fights. We will have an alternate for the next fight, I'm guessing.
So
I know it's a little high.
So Karatanov could win the whole thing.
Oh, he's in for sure. Yeah.
Win the whole thing. All right.
Do you think that's high? How many these fighters you think are going to make it to the end?
I think there's a 0% possibility that if Fedor wins, he makes it to the end. 0%.
Like he takes a win and then he goes home.
And then
he
just doesn't care or hurts himself or whatever. It doesn't matter.
That nobody can hurt.
Yes. If Frank Mir wins, I think he's kind of in it for the long haul. This first one, actually, I think is an X factor because depending on what these two gentlemen do to each other, neither one of them might want to continue. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this could for either of these dudes be a retirement fight. Really? I mean, I really think Chael would have been done by now if not for that 2 years he had to sit out. So he's still going to go out there and he's still going to make some money.
Yes, he is. And speaking of money, that segues us into the big announcement this week as UFC 223 in Brooklyn gives us Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov for the unified title at lightweight.
Undisputed as well.
Undisputed.
To the UFC, which is interesting because there's still another title out there. That's exactly the opposite of what undisputed means, but that's what they want to call it.
Yes. So that is scheduled. It's also scheduled on that night that you will have Joanna Jędrzejczyk rematching Rose Namajunas for that title.
Dual main event. I told you we're going to see more of these.
You're going to see more of these. And then exciting news, if you're in West Michigan, Cody Stamann is on this card. I don't know where he ends up, but he's on this card. Fighting Brian Caraway, which is going to be an amazing fight. So that one's on the card as well. But, man... Ferguson and Nurmagomedov, and Ferguson opened up as the underdog, as one would expect. This dude, this is such a fascinating fight to me.
Okay, I love...
And I know we don't need to break it down, but like this is such a fascinating fight.
You do like the fight. I mean, I think the part we need to get to, though...
Is the fight?
Is that they've definitively decided to move on without Connor at this point. Exactly. Yeah, right. So, they didn't... I told them... You know, Bellator, listen to me about the co-main event status. UFC's got to find the money. They've got to get Connor in there. I love this fight as well. But whoever wins this fight, I wonder what he would have done against Connor. And yeah. I'm not the only person who's going to be thinking that.
We talked about it. You see it at featherweight.
You see it at light heavy right now. They're trying to reset it, too.
Well, yes, in a different scenario. No one is asking if Connor could beat Jon Jones. That's not what they're asking.
Yet.
But what I was saying,
McGregor Promotions puts that in a cage.
When we talked about Jose and Max Holloway, you know, there was that cloud above those guys. He beat both of them. You guys can battle for the belt all you want, but you didn't actually beat the guy that had the belt.
Right.
And this is going to be the same thing.
A little similar. I mean, luckily, neither of these dudes have taken a loss against Connor.
No, but those two guys did, right?
Yeah, that's really bad.
They both lost, and then he
left.
He ghosted them, right? And you're seeing this here, too, and... The more you see these, and the less you see Connor freaking out, and he's not a guy who freaks out anyway, but the less that you see him freaking out, the more it means, like, he has moved on, friends. Like, he's going to do other things. I would not be surprised, and we have talked about this, I would not be surprised to see him show up in WrestleMania. We'll talk about WWE here in a second, but, like, WrestleMania, show up on a show on HBO, like do other things that aren't this.
Right. That aren't as hard as this. You can be competitive and you can want to go out and win and do things, but you don't have to necessarily spend 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 16 weeks, whatever your camp is. You know, as a champion, those camps can get pretty long and he's got a kid. He's got a new little baby. I mean, it's one of those things too, where you can't really go to camp and be a father. That's very tough in this business.
Super tough. And especially when he's traveling to Iceland. He's all over the place doing these camps,
right? Well, he can't fight at home. It's not big enough. The UFC can't make money there.
Yes.
He's got to travel for his camp to make sure he's with the right guys at this point to be effective. And it's a thing, too. It's tough, man. If I woke up and I had $100 million in my bank account, I'd still go to work. I'd be in possible to deal with, though.
Well, and you've got, I mean, there's other things going on, right?
He's got his own promotion now, too.
He's got his own promotion. The whiskey drops in 60 days, right? And if you think that Conor McGregor whiskey isn't going to sell, you know, you can make fun of him all you want on Twitter that he's not making Diddy money. But I can tell you, because I was there, everybody in the industry when Diddy dropped his vodka made fun of Diddy too.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find Ciroc at the grocery store, kids.
Mm-hmm. When's this McGregor whiskey coming out? I didn't know about this.
March or April.
Oh, cool. Was it going to be distributed here?
You know, I would assume.
You can't bring whiskey up without the details, Eric.
I would assume that he's doing that. I will get you a bottle. I promise. You got
to go to Ireland to get it. Your ass is going to Ireland. You just got to promise.
I would love to
podcast
go to Ireland.
Podcast promises. I like pinky swears.
I will tell my wife that, and I would love to go to Ireland, so I've no problem with that.
I made a podcast promise. Sorry.
Turns out those are as real as anything. Right, so
it's a weird thing. Once it's recorded, it's like a contract.
I mean, I had no idea. I mean, I thought I read the terms of service on Apple, but I didn't. Podcast promises are a thing.
So
but
Connor.
My point to say is,
do we put him in the Hall of Fame right now?
Yes.
Or do we do?
Yes. Who?
It was more of a joke about if the UFC is going to really be able to take the breakup,
right?
Do well with
they,
it.
I mean, they won't. but like, in all seriousness, like you had to see this coming, and I was saying the other day, Usman fought this weekend, and people were making fun of him because he said he fought at 30%, and no one understood what the heck he was talking about. And I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I was saying, Chael before him, but Connor certainly has kind of ruined the sport in that way that everyone thinks that they need to like have a platform and stand up when they win a fight, mm-hmm. and, like say a thing, and it doesn't really work. Like when Conor McGregor stands up and says, "We're not here to take part, we're here to take over," you know what he means, mm-hmm. and then he did all of it.
Right, exactly.
And so I don't actually know, to be quite honest with you, as interesting as it would be to see him fight either one of these guys, I don't actually know with some distance that it matters. What else does he have to do?
Exactly. I mean, for him and the fight game, there's not a lot.
Even for the fight game itself, right? Like, forget about if you're a fan. I love seeing him fight. Don't get me wrong. But, like, from the sport perspective, what the hell does the guy need to do?
What the hell does he need to do?
Well, and I could probably, and I don't have it ready today, but I could probably take a look at some things and tell you that even if he does come back, your more interesting fight is still going to be another Nate Diaz fight.
Yeah.
I really do, which would not take care of any of the purists as far as their interests go at this point in either of those divisions that he's left behind.
But I think here's the thing, and we'll kind of wrap it up here, and I'll have one more big fight that I want to talk about real quick, and we'll wrap it up. But, like, here's the thing is Connor is seven steps ahead of where the organization needs to be. This is a guy who's just kind of wandering around the cabin doing things that are interesting to make everybody money,
mm-hmm.
which is what WME IMG wants,
right?
Is for somebody to wander around the cabin and make them money, not somebody who's like, well, I mean, I really want to fight Volkan Olzemir and hope that people will, like, we buried the lead on this, hope that people will pay an extra $5 because they've upped the pay-per-view charge for this weekend, right?
Well, like, this is a 2018 thing, or they need this card,
I don't know
that
the,
good?
I don't know the answer to either of those questions, but it's $5 more expensive this week. And neither one of these fights, I don't believe, maybe the Stipe one, but, like, certainly DC and Volkan is not a walk around the cabin, make everybody money fight.
I don't think either of these fights are. Stipe just hasn't connected in that way yet.
I'm saying because Nagano is a scary human being.
Until he beats Brock. Coming up in July.
There's your walk. I'm not kidding. Nagano understands what Connor understands. There's your walk around the cabin, make money fight. He goes, who cares if he pops hot? Who cares if his hair is red? Who cares if he even can make, I don't care.
Why would his hair be red?
I'm just like these weird variables that people forget. Like this is, this place wants to make their money back.
Yeah.
And
I think they lost it at this point. I mean, I know
it's not
whatever intern is there.
Although, you know, I wanted to talk that very quickly that they announced that Poirier and Justin Gaethje is a fight that's going to happen in April. So that's an amazing fight.
That'll line them up.
Well, it's if you like fighting, that's a fight that you want to watch.
I like
one thing that I wanted to close on, though, was the WWE story that you found, because I think this wraps this up very nicely and shows you why the UFC, if they're not going to do the Ken Evans plan of pay the guy the money, needs another walk around the cabin, make money guy, because this might happen.
Well, the interesting part of this is that Fox Sports might buy WWE broadcast rights. The WWE broadcast rights are up next year. Right now, they've got a deal with NBC Universal, which puts them on the USA Network and occasionally on Saturday Night Main Events, blah, 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 those type of things. A lot of people look at this and go, well, what does that matter? What does that have to do with the UFC? And this is, folks, where this all comes together. For as much as some fans hate WWE and think that it's fake BS, and for WWE and wrestling fans who think fighting is two naked guys rolling around on the ground, by the way, if you're sending that tweet out, take a quick look at the product you're consuming on either side. This is why this type of thing matters, because right now that WWE is expected to make $400 million on their deal. That is very close to the number that the UFC is currently making.
So, and by very close, you mean the exact number.
Exact number. UFC was looking for a large bump in this TV deal. They basically, their TV deal, they would have been in much better shape if this thing would have ended 1 year earlier. 1 year earlier, and I think they could have almost had $1 billion, maybe up in the 700, 800 range.
In Silicon Valley, they call it the ransom money, right?
Mm-hmm. Like
they
exactly.
Yeah.
They would have had the ransom money. They would have Ronda Rousey, Conor McGregor, and nobody would have known John Jones was about to blow the up.
Yep.
What is going on here, though, which is very interesting, is if Fox is able to negotiate for the WWE rights, which would put Raw on Fox proper. And we've talked to,
holy
you hear,
shit,
have you
man.
Have like, you heard, I mean, think about how we're talking about. We're talking about this the same way we talk about UFC, like UFC on Fox prop, blah, 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 blah.
Can you even imagine what happens to that product when it gets to Fox proper?
If it does, yes. Here's the part where this all kind of ties in, folks. They don't want both. Fox does not need UFC if they've got WWE. This will not be a situation like we saw on Spike TV back in the day where you had TNA and you had Bellator.
Bellator, yeah.
This they know that this audience is similar enough that they don't need to spend money on both products. And if they end up negotiating this WWE deal, that will devalue the UFC product even more, because you have to imagine the $400 million on the UFC and the slight bump is going to be given to them simply because they don't have to build out anything. You've already got the studio shows. You've already got the coverage set. You already have everything set up the way it's going to roll in the future, and you have 100% certainty on what those places are for the fights, for the most part.
Sure.
Obviously, with a new deal, you could have some changes, and I would think the UFC would want a couple more changes there. If they make a deal with WWE, and that takes over that slot, the UFC could be in some real trouble because their value goes down. There's nobody fighting right now to take it away from Fox at a higher price. Now, would NBC be interested, especially if they lost WWE? Possibly. Would CBS be interested? Showtime, UFC, not sure. That company's kind of,
right.
They've gone
well,
back and forth.
And I would argue that outside of Showtime, they don't have a lot of properties that fit with this demographic.
No, I mean, remember how weird it was when we were watching the old Elite XC on CBS?
Yes.
Because you'd see, like, CSI 7 promos or whatever it is?
Yes.
So,
and then Murder, She Wrote was on after it for some reason?
Obviously, ABC, ESPN, the perfect fit. Nobody would doubt that. Except they don't have a lot of money either. I don't know if anybody's paying attention to the media world, but they're losing a lot of people. They had a great run, which, again, isn't coming to an end tomorrow. But the way ESPN's economics have worked for the past 20 years have not been working for the past five. I don't know if they have even $400 million that they can give a UFC product where they're going like, okay, are we going to get a Jon Jones fight? Are we going to get a Conor McGregor fight?
Right.
Are we going to get a Ronda Rousey fight? No, they're all gone.
The answer is no to all three of those.
No to all three of those. And we can already get a bump with our UFC coverage when we need it because you guys do anything you want for us, which probably pisses off Fox anyways. Because they pretty much, the UFC, other than actually giving them live fights, will do anything whenever ESPN shows up.
Yeah, they're on SportsCenter all the time.
Well, yeah, they'll give them a whole, which again, they're the biggest sports platform in the world still, regardless of the way that things have shifted in the industry. This is a big deal. I mean, and this really needs to show people that, hey, this audience is considered the same. So when you think about these type of things, you have to think about what WWE is doing with their network and the fact that their pay-per-views are essentially included for $9.99 a month and that they keep the product very, very accessible so they can build stars and keep moving forward. And they set tentpole events. And I get that, you know, UFC is never going to be able to kind of work out the fights in the way, obviously, a worked fight is. But you have to look at all of this and consider that in the scenario, too. Because, guys, this is a real problem for UFC if they don't get re-signed at this dollar amount. I mean, we joke about the WMEIMG thing, but, I mean, this was a real big nut they were hoping to crack with this second part of the deal. Remember, they gave them a free heavyweight championship fight. They were so excited about this deal when it started.
Yep.
And
yes,
that didn't go well.
And it didn't go well. Kane was on Instagram this week as an aside saying, don't call it a comeback. And I sent it to you and I said, don't worry, we won't.
I didn't see that. I missed that. Or I saw Kane Velasquez and just
nope,
kept scrolling.
No worries. We won't call it a comeback. No worries. So, but all that to say, like, we're not in a position, and even when, like, from a fight fan, these fights that you have for the first half of the year, like, yes, I'm going to give you whatever money you want for Tony Ferguson or Magomedov, but
are you? You are.
You didn't let me finish. I am.
Sorry.
Guy in Buffalo Wild Wings? Maybe he is. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I can tell you that Fox isn't, right? Like,
no.
NBC isn't. ABC isn't.
No. No. And no. And plus, let's remember, they don't even get that fight. And they don't even get it in a way that makes the undercard super accessible if they want to put one of those guys on the undercard.
Yeah.
So this was a really interesting thing. And I it's probably just because I'm a super huge wrestling fan that I kind of caught this and put the two and two together. Because I haven't seen a lot of people run with this yet. And again, there's some speculation in there. And I get why some of the bigger guys aren't going to do it. But I saw this and I was blown away when I started looking at the numbers and realizing, this could be a really bad thing for the UFC. Let's remember, back before the UFC even had a real TV deal. I mean, you could conceivably have CBS say, no thanks, we're good. You could have NBC say, hey, we're the Olympics. We're not UFC. Yeah, that's not, which they've done before.
Sure.
We're the Olympics and we're football. That's what we do. I mean, they let the NBA go because they were trying to shift about 15, 20 years ago. And your most logical landing spot, and the guys who can treat it the best, I still think, I've loved the Fox stuff, but the guys who can treat it the best and bring it to the biggest audience, they don't really have a checkbook right now. You know, they have, if you really get into the nuts and bolts in this, I won't go too deep, but this is the exact thing that has burned ESPN's ass, is rights fees.
Yeah.
This is what's been burning them, because their fees for Major League Baseball, for NBA, for tertiary college football games, for the playoffs in some years, for all of these things, That's been the reason they're losing so much money, because they paid too much, because they wanted to become a brand that had all of these rights fees, and it made sense at the time, and it doesn't make sense now, and they're going to be looking very leerily at anybody who says, hey, the UFC is really going to bring it now. What are they going to bring? They're not going to bring me their pay-per-view numbers, because those go for $59.99 or $64.99 now.
Sure.
Those are once or twice a month, so what are we getting? What are our cowards? You know, what am I taking a college football game off on a Sunday night for, or a Saturday night for? What am I taking an NFL game off on a Monday night for? Because you're going to have to bring something to the table, which I don't believe the UFC has anymore.
And we will keep you posted on all of this. You can read the whole article on our Facebook page at Wow Show. Twitter and Facebook, just search Wow Show. Results for both Bellator and UFC 220 this weekend. You can find them on Twitter and Facebook. I am Eric Hallgren. That is Ken Evans. And this is Way of the Warrior.